Welcome to Adventures into Sovereignty on the megastation BBSRadio.com, simulcast into Google Hangouts. We are live, and I'm joined by my intrepid co-host, Rebecca Cope. And with us on the line is Deborah and Tamara once again for an incredible show where we are going to be talking trust, tax guys who can be our friend, and so much more.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
You are welcome.
Welcome, everybody. This is Rebecca, and we're so glad to have Deborah and Tamara with us again tonight. We had so many requests for information and kept this gal so busy that she had no choice but to get back on here and answer your questions. So we are definitely going to look forward to this show tonight. Welcome back, everybody.
Welcome back. Thank you.
Good to be here, Rebecca. Thank you. And thank you, Andrew.
You are absolutely welcome. So the last time we've had an incredible response to the show that you were on, Deborah and Tamara. And we kind of want to pick up where we left off. You talked about the trust before. And so we were going to be getting into how the tax guy can be our friend and some more stuff about the notary. So why don't we just jump right into what we didn't get to finish in the first interview?
Okay, great, wonderful, perfect. It's a funny thing because many people called and it was like, who's that redhead? I says, I don't know, call her, ask her. I got a lot of phone calls requesting about her. I said, what about me? I'm not jealous and all, but don't be calling me asking me about that redhead. So anyways, so I want to talk a bit about, I want to get into the notaries. I definitely want to talk about the IRS and primarily the trust. And because there's a lot of misnomers about the notaries, you see, the notaries has an awesome responsibility unknown to them. And that's unfortunately, but when they go into the history of notaries, the notaries was commissioned by kings. And they were actually their sidekick. I mean, kings entrusted the notaries better than anyone else. So, and it was always when a king sent out a messenger, the only way that we knew the messenger, it was the document that came from the king was authentic. It came through a notary. So a notary has the ability to authorize all documents. And here's the beauty about the notaries. In recent affairs, especially when it comes to debt collectors. The notaries, when you have any particular debt, if someone is notifying you that they are attempting to collect a debt, you can actually take it to the notary, have the notary authenticate that account, at which case they cannot. So the notary can come in and say, I'm sorry, where is the original for this debt? Because for you to make claim on it, you have to show the original. And when the notaries are getting involved, they tend to want to back out. So, and I'm hearing from quite a few people that when they have used a notary to intercept the debt collector's effort, almost they just scurry and run and try to sell it to another debt collector. So that's how really effective the notaries are. As a matter of fact, I've gotten a great number of feedbacks from my students and others who have began using the notaries, and the overwhelming response they're calling me and saying, my God, for the first time, these agencies are literally responding to our requests, whatever that request will be. And so it's very surprising because it makes all the difference, because now you're doing something that they recognize, that they can communicate with, and that's that neutral party, which is the notaries. So the notaries, as a matter of fact, the clerk of the court, that role technically belongs to a notary. But they dumped down the educational level of the notary and gave that position to a clerk of the court. Well, they're not authorized by the state to authenticate documents. only the notaries are. They are the eyes and ears of the Attorney General of any given state. Only they can authenticate any documents. So what's going on in the courts is the procedures are even incorrect there, because it should be notaries that they're, and they're not using them. As a matter of fact, in most cases, some clerk of the courts downright just don't even acknowledge a notary, and then it is the notary who has tremendous power. Okay. So, and that's where the fallout is, and then the notaries are unaware of their enormous job description, so they don't know, you know, to
their
go
in there. Duty was never explained to them, as well as their history. About when in our history did clerk of courts start taking over where notaries were?
I haven't had much chance to go back into the history to find exactly what year all of that had taken place. I have a notary. There's notary manual with the entire history on it, so right off the top of my head, I'm unable to recall what that is. But it was, I'm going to say early... I want to say after 1933, kind of the road.
Probably in 47.
47?
47, after everyone was back and the notaries that had died off in the war and all of those people that were running would have gone back to get civil service jobs, and they would have just filled in the civil service jobs. All the people coming home from the war would have gone and taken over whichever job they could have.
It's possible in the 40s, but... I'm almost closely know that it's some. It is closer to around the 1930s, shortly after supposedly all the gold was declared. I mean, all the gold was gold and silver was submitted. So right. It had to take place around there, because Roosevelt went about usurp the entire court system. He did that. So I know it was around that time. I just don't know precisely when. But that's when it really took place. So that is the responsibility of the notaries. And the notaries can, again, going back into having three or more notaries, they can actually have court. And they also have enforcing power. They actually can take that order to the sheriff, because the sheriff are only supposed to take orders directly from the court. They're not to operate under any premise, and yet you got the bankers are foreclosing on homeowners, and they're using the sheriff to do it. They're supposed to be under the direct guidance of they're supposed to be under the direct order of the court and not on the bankers. So what's going on here? So perhaps our sheriff department became a private security force, because under no circumstances should the sheriff be taking any orders from anyone else other than a court-appointed judge or elected judge, but basically that order must come directly from a sitting judge or judges. And yet they are out there pretty much like a mafia, you know, that sends their bodyguards to kick in doors, and that's, you know, it's inappropriate for one. So there is so much blatant breaching of laws, of their procedure, of what the guidelines that were set for them to follow. And the only reason why that is because it is because of flesh versus paper. And so that's where largely all of that is really taking place. And until we can correct that, they're going to continue to go the route they've been going and doing what they're doing, even though technically it really is. I mean, seriously. I mean, we're talking about various violations of laws. And so, I mean, it's just so enormous that at some point they would like to have immunity from that, but genocide, there is no immunity from genocide. So, and this is what's going on. So that has to be corrected. And the three checks and balances that the people have is the notaries, the grand jurors, and the jurors. Notaries can have court, Grand jurors can try anyone for infamous crimes or treasonous acts, and then you have your jurors for your local communities for minor offenses. And they have great powers, and they don't even know what their job description is. Anytime their judges are giving their specific orders and the DA is giving their specific orders, that's jury tampering.
Mm-hmm.
So many jurors, I often tell them to get the jury handbook. In fact, I carry it around with me in case I come across people, because I get many people that are saying, I've been called for jury duty, should I serve? I said, hell yeah, because you're going to educate some people. So basically I tell them to go ahead and get, you know, this is what they can, and start reading it. And that's going to put them back in the driver's seat. And they have equivalent power of 1,200 sitting presidents, all of Congress and the congressional members, and all of your Supreme Court justices. That's how much power both resides both in the grand jurors and the jurors. And then, of course, you got your notaries. So that's where your checks and balances really are. And it should have been with the states. The fourth one should have been at the voting poll. But they are rigged, so we cannot rely on that. So now we only have basically two left, and that's the jurors and the grand jurors and the notaries. So this is how you can get to the bottom of some of these problems here. And, you know, it's an effort, it's a community effort, and you have to do it a community at a time. Not some mistaken that I'm meaning to do this on a global scale. You have to do it a community at a time. To build your grassroots. Is was something said?
Yeah, you got to do it one at a time.
Yes. Yeah, you got to do community at a time, because that's what the jurors are there for. They're there. And then here's the other big, here's a major factor why people are being prosecuted for people that are biased. Okay, first and foremost, when you sit on a juror duty, to be a juror, you should know or have known the defendant. Do you know that of the 12 jurors, a minimum of 8 of them should know the defendant? And then secondly, not only should they know the defendant, they should be of the same race and age. So let's say if there was an Asian individual in their 50s, 12 of those jurors should be in that age category. They should be Asian, and at least 8 to 12. I'm going to say from 8 to 12 of them should know the defendant. That is peers of your peers. So when I had my clients to go into court and they asked for a trial by jury, I tell them, you make sure that you put in there, stipulated, peers of peers. And almost uncertainly, the DA goes, oh, God, how are we going to pull this off? Because that is what the jurors are about. Jurors who is making biased decision about the character of the defendant is ill-advised, because the juror system, when you trace that back in history, back in the Wild Wild West, you remember when the sheriff used to apprehend the suspect and they said you will be tried by your peers, you know, by the community. Your community consists of people that lived in the same community. Not only the jurors need to know you and be of the same race and age group, they need to be in that, from that community. So if a person is being tried that's from Texas, let's say Austin, Texas, then all the jurors should be from Austin, Texas. They are not to be anywhere else. They are bringing in jurors from other districts that have no clue what's going on. They just handpick them like a lottery. That is not the jury system. I don't know what that is, but that's not the proper setup for jurors at all.
So Deborah, we've got a situation where, in Rod's case, for instance, they have designated the Arizona jury system, and they have held that to the point where the judge is the one who is going to determine how many jurors. They could have a number as 8 jurors on that Arizona jury, and the defendant does not have any choice in any of this. So when you get a judge who is absolutely adamant about the kind of jury system, and you have somebody who knows what the jury rules are going to do, and they still want to go by that, what do you do? I mean, how do you get around it when it is this really and truly rigged? The system is so rigged that we do not have as good a control on it as we should when we know the facts.
You know, I've had conversation with Ron Glass, both online and all, you know, on the calls on this radio show, and I have repeatedly said to Ron, why are you going back there? You know, you've got other recourses. If you've got a situation where there is the superior court or not following a procedure, you can go around them and go take your case right up to the Supreme Court. You can bypass appeal courts and go directly to the Supreme Court when there is severe corruptions in the lower courts, or better yet, transfer to the court the Chancery Courts, because they are Chancery Court. Their primary function is to hear cases that is strictly based on constitutionality. That's what they're there to do all day long. And there's, you know, technically all the states have a court of chancery. They don't want us to know what courts can hear those such cases. So right now everyone either has to go to Delaware or Pennsylvania. But there's more than one court. All courts supposedly within the 50 states, should I say the 54 states, all have courts of chancery or chancery courts. So I have spoken to Ron about that, you know, taking it in a different route. So if he chooses to stay there, well, okay, well, he's choosing to stay in the sandbox.
I was actually going to add to that too, Deborah. I mean, if you look at the Trayvon Martin George Zimmerman case, what they had six jurors there. No one there was nobody there of his peers, and there was severe tampering with the court because the judge or the admin there was telling the jurors that they had to actually adhere and listen to the stand on your ground or stand your ground. That's what it is. Your stand your ground statute. And she said that was the law and they had to follow the law without actually even reading the statute of what it actually meant. Yeah, so there's another example of severe tampering and misleading.
Yeah, the Castle Doctrine. I believe that's what that was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't follow that case because we've had so many...
So many like that.
Racial cases.
In every race, creed, and color.
Absolutely.
In every white collar, black collar, pink collar, it doesn't matter. We've gotten to the level of corruption now where, you know, everyone's got a scam, whether it's the 1-800 number that's going to call you every morning for the next 72 mornings, you know, until you answer and give them an email or something. I mean, it's just another scam, a contracting scam. And we have to be sovereign individual beings who are willing to say no, share and educate with everyone what we know, so that people in general can understand, like, if there is no victim in the crime, why are you doing the time?
Exactly. Oh, my God. You know, that was something I've been meaning to do, and I never got a chance to do it, and what was to bring some case law with regards. There's tons of case law. When, in fact, the Supreme Court have ruled repeatedly that an arrest is an assault.
Yes.
That police officers, technically, are peace officers. So, you know. And so, therefore, that one had a right to defend themselves just as if this was an unknown assailant to them, to defend themselves. And the Supreme Court have many case laws to support, I mean, tons of it. I thought I had it readily available because I can share some of those case laws so people can go and look it up themselves. But all if one have access to a PACER, all you need to do is, so those of you who know how to search case law, you know, you put in for keywords, you know, Supreme Court, opinion on arrests, you know, back in the 80s and the 90s. And I think the last, from my understanding from a judge, the last time they spoke about that was, I want to say 92, because what that was happening was that the American people weren't supporting them by saying and making it, using that as part of their case defense. They went in there and argued, well, I was just coming out of my car, instead of using the opinions of the courts, the high court, mind you, that clearly says an arrest in America was illegal, always were. And it had the I think the earliest case was somewhere back in 18, if it's back in 1800s, then you know if it was illegal then, it is very much illegal today.
Right. They can't pass laws to legalize it.
Exactly.
It's built into the framework.
Well, first and foremost, you can't destroy your foundation. How do you do that?
Right.
You know, I've often said, when you have a foundation, I mean, just like when you bulldoze in a home, do you bulldoze the foundation? How is any of us going to stand if you bulldoze in the foundation? You can never destroy the foundation.
Right.
So as much as that they want everyone to believe that, you cannot. First in line is first in time. Right. Just look at your house. For heaven's sakes, we're all sitting. We're not levitating here.
Exactly, Ron.
Okay. So while we're talking about this arrest situation, let's just look at the traffic stops that are taking place everywhere now. How are you best going to handle that? Because what is happening, I mean, people are posting.
Oh my class! You'll be so amazed how you're going to get out of that. I can't give it to you for free. That's part of educating you about everything else. Take the class.
You'll
see how you can get out of it.
I can actually.
3 days. Just take the class.
I can back her up on that one. I did take the class, and I do know the special recipe. So, and everybody will have that special recipe when they show up at Deborah's place. So it's
Go ahead.
When is that class?
Oh, I'm glad someone asked. Because I'm telling you, I'm booked solid for the month of October. However, people need to get their payments in. All the classes are full. I mean, all my classes. All of October, all of November, and the entire one-week class in December are booked. However, people ain't got their payments in, so your seats are not confirmed. But on paper, the class is full. So the first class I've got, I'm supposed to be in somewhere in Tennessee next week, so that's going to be a little briefing there. But I've got a class scheduled for either the 17th or the 18th to be in Texas. Again, all of their people need to have their payments in as well for me to confirm that, make that a solid commitment. Other than that, I've got an Oakland class from the 18th to the 19th, and then the following week I've got it from the 25th to the 26th, and then the following week I have it from the 30th to November the 2nd. That's going to be in Louisiana, and then November, and then the following week there is a class here in Oakland or some other location.
Is there a website with your schedule or a way that they could get?
Yes, I'm glad you asked. We got that up running and percolating. So, and our courtesy of Julian Paris and Josh, they work enormously fast. I mean, they said, Deb, we've got to get you out there quickly so people can get enrolled, so I can get excited about these classes. So, anyways. The website for the classes, she told me specifically to say, is protrustacademy.com. That's where you go and you sign up for the classes. That's where you go if you want more information. That's where you go to submit your emails and if you have any comments or if you have any issues. Unfortunately, she asked that I will no longer can contact me by phone. So she's the administrator, so she's handling that. So, yeah.
There you go.
And then You have trustupproviders.com, and that website is primarily for those who are considering having a trust, you know, having trust created. However, I don't have a lot of trust information on it just yet. I just got some articles just to, you know, to give people some background about what's really going on out in the world today, especially here in America. So those are the two trusts. But if you want to sign up for the classes, then go to protrustacademy.com. Unfortunately, everyone would have to still use the snail mail to get the payments in. We are working on getting the affiliate up and I guess the PayPal or however way that so people can make payments right there online without having to send money orders to me or Western Union or Western Union, however they pay me. So that will eventually be dressed, and you know, so every day these websites are morphing, you know, morphing. So there's some changes on a daily basis until it's, you know, it's ready to go and it can serve and meet all the needs of whatever that may be. So
wonderful. So let's get deeper into what some of the things that these victimless crimes are doing. And you know, we're at a point where there's so many victimless crimes. Taxes is another example. Oh. Fees that are given to businesses from governments for no reason.
I, you know, since I, you know, since the YouTube went out, so many people have called me. And many of them are insiders that were that are in now and that were. And some of the information that has been given to me, I was hoping that I can got enough to decipher it. I right now have to research some of it. Like, for instance, the federal lien. That is that everyone is losing their property over this federal lien, which is only $10. So let me be the first to tell you, your property don't have a value of $1.2 or $3 or $4 million. Those are back penalties and fees and interest and compound interest from $10, okay? Mm-hmm. People in America are losing their homes over $10. And when I got the paperwork on it, I just thought, my goodness, these guys are good and clever. For them to disguise that, only for someone to come along to tell me, oh, Deborah, it's a military lien. I said, what? It's a military lien? She says, oh, yeah, under the War Powers Act. And I thought, you're kidding me.
What Rod was saying, War Powers Act, military lien. Yep.
So I thought, okay, that's the icing on this cake. So I'm going to make a special trip next week to Tennessee and look this into the, look up those records for myself. But it's incredible that the layers here. I say, my God, next thing you know, we know that these are galactical links. I mean, you know what? You know, they just make up as they go along here. I mean, so where do these people stop?
Right. The fraud is so big, how can we even know what they're not showing us behind the curtain?
Exactly. So I have ongoing researchers, you know, I have people that I work with very closely, and we do ongoing researches and investigations into a lot of this matter so that I can bring it to you front and center, but I need to dissect it so in a way that I can convey it to you, that everyone can fully grasp what is happening and how can we exit it. Okay, so we're looking into that, but I do have the paperwork for those that wish to proceed with paying off this excise tax, and if they, you know, they can choose to do so, I can provide them the paperwork, or if they wish to hire my services to do that for them, then we can. It's amazing because at the end when they do file for the paperwork and do the deed of acknowledgement, they actually have them to take an oath. The landowner, you're not a homeowner. You're really a tenant from their perspective and their paperwork. I mean, so we have to say what it is. We have to stop saying we're homeowners because you're not. You never were. Okay. So we have to begin to start using the verbiage that is correct and not get to continue to be deceived on a daily basis. You are not a homeowner. Let's identify what you are at this point. You are a tenant. Okay, just have a leasing agreement with the banks. And until that changes, when you go and pay off this $10 or $20, depending on which state, they actually make you an oath for you to acknowledge you was once a debtor. Amazing.
Wow, the gall.
Yes. And then they declare you sovereign, man or woman on the land. You are now the true landlord.
Wow. I like that. And then you can go ahead and make your manor roll under your own trust.
That's right. That's absolutely. And you want to do everything you can to lean that baby out. Because we call it like a dangling. Yep. Once it's free and clear, it's dangling. So someone else is going to come along and make a false claim on it. So you, what you have to do is, you know, prevent that from happening. And this is where the trust come in, and this is why I'm pushing the trust. Now, not everyone will qualify for that because there is some stipulation as far as to getting into this particular trust, which is an irrevocable trust.
Right.
But I can possibly do a living trust until one can graduate into an irrevocable trust, which has all the finite protection they need, all the various levels of protection that will afford one. And when you're able to do that, coupled with your status and standing, you exit out the matrix, you're able to move about commerce. And you're able to
You're going to be some kind of extraterritorial citizen.
I'm sorry?
You're going to be some kind of extraterritorial citizen.
Well, you can call it whatever you like.
The perception of sovereign is so weird.
Make it very clear that you have to have the ability to navigate. You're going to have a new ship on the water.
Yep.
To navigate those waters. That's basically
isn't a military ship.
We're all talking about maritime, and after all, isn't that what the Noor story was really all about?
Yep.
Oh, God. The Noor. Okay. Let me see if I can find an example of how bogus this. I didn't bring it with me. I so want to demonstrate to you how ridiculously that story is. You got an Earth. I have a huge one, by the way.
On Earth. Everyone should have a globe in their office. Absolutely everyone.
Just imagine it's being flooded with water. Okay. So it's in a tank for 40 days. And then suddenly, where did all that water go? Hang on just a minute. You talk while I have to illustrate.
Go ahead. Rebecca, are you there? And Tamara, so what are your thoughts?
Well, Andrew, I read just one of the most aggravating reports today that I think I've read in a long time. It's one that Dr. Robert Codera came up with, and it showed that 99.82% of the time that any judge is brought up on the carpet for something that he did, in other words, they get away with it 99.82% of the time. This just absolutely shows how beyond corrupt we have gotten to in this country, and what a real deep problem that we have.
Oh yeah,
I mean,
it is deep.
You know, we just scratch the surface with these shows, and I know there's a lot of people out there who just really shake their heads and think that we're the ones who just couldn't possibly know what we're talking about. But unfortunately, it's far worse than any of us can even begin to imagine.
Yeah.
Fraud, I was going to say, go ahead, Andrew.
Fraud at a scale we've never even conceived of.
No, not at all.
Okay, here is the Earth. Okay, this is the Earth. See your space, right? Okay, how can you take an Earth and flood it as it moves? Okay, I'm having a hard time with that one. Oh, and then by the way, here's the Earth. Flood it. So Hang on.
There it is.
Okay. So, please tell me, how can you flood that? And then after the 41st day, voila, everything was, you know, beautiful and green. I'm sorry.
No, it's a perfectly chocolate
for 40 days. Where did that ship go? How could that ship be on here? So obviously we're talking about a tank.
Yeah.
We're talking about a submarine. Basically, what they, all that they were telling you, that the water came onto dry land.
Right.
It's impossible for an Earth to have flood, and it's moving in space, rotating around the sun, might I add.
Right.
Then if that's flooding, what happened with the other rotating planets around it? It could not be affected? Come on.
Yeah, that's logic from the old Popey Poos, you know, when they said the land was flat. You know, and they claimed the whole title of the Earth. You know, I mean, it's kind of ballsy of them to say, hey, I own everything. I mean, let's all here in unity say we all own everything and sign a paper. And it's the same thing the Pope did.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so, I mean, one has to sit down and really, when you start to take it apart, you know, it almost like, what? What? What game they played on me? And because I thought, for years I thought they have dug deep into the earth. They claim they've never found the 40-foot boat that's made out of wood that sat in water for 40 days. Sounds like an alien invasion to me.
Sounds like
what kind of material is that?
And if you'd like to find out more, go to galactichistorian.com.
Where's that material today? Okay. Boy, you gotta love it. Yeah. I love it. Keeps me excited. Keeps me laughing at night. Keeps me waking up and going, whoa,
Just says that there was a generation of us that, you know, we should have laid off the alcohol. There's a generation of us that went, yeah, whatever. It passed on to us until we're like, hey.
Yeah, precisely. Let's also talk about the pyramids for a minute.
Yeah.
Okay? They say, I've done many things. I'm an architect, done construction, so I kind of know a little thing about material. And so when they talk about the pyramids, now we all have been, for me anyways, I can't speak for everyone out there in the audience listening area, but I do a great deal of research, and it comes to be known that there's pyramids in practically every country on this planet.
Yep.
So they say that most of them was built here. Well, that's impossible. Where's that material today? It's impossible. Why? 1.5 million years ago, this planet had a catastrophic event, multiple catastrophic events. The guys got angry again and they nuked this place. This place was in bad shape. In fact, only bacteria was living here. And there was a race that came here first. 1.5. Now, this is an older, much older planet, but I'm only speaking of from the cultivation from that time to current.
Yep.
1.5 years ago, a dark race came. They helped cultivate it, but they didn't realize the various bacteria. So they were already here for a million, and then the Chinese came behind them, what they call at that time the yellow race. They found that the dark race was dying on this new planet. They came with the medicine. That's why the Chinese are known for their medicine today, with all the cures. They were able to cure this particular bacteria that were taking place. So they helped the dark brothers, and then there was a cultivation at that time. But because the planet was uninhabitable, they had to bring their living quarters here. Guess what they were? Those pyramids.
Those pyramids. That's right.
They were brought.
Pyramids were originally metal. I've done hours and hours and hours of material with this. And what she's referring to in from my lens of perception is what's called timeline genocide. Mm-hmm. When multiple species and parts of people that were in this their world had their local time erased and then their DNA altered and different types of souls put inside their DNA lineage mm-hmm. that had their mother and father and their mother and father's information before them, because DNA lineage is a technology. They hijacked the technology. They hijacked our time. They hijacked our personalities. They hijacked our religion. They hijacked our language, our culture, and began removing things that kept us unified, like dreams, like written history, like oral traditions, and so on and so forth, until we are dumbed down to what it is today. Spiritual beings who don't really realize we're fully spiritual beings in an environment that we are all lies. We're swimming in a pool of lies, sharing the dirty energy underwear, and unaware that a sovereign being is aware of their good and their bad energy and does not share their bad energy with a group of people. There's a field that says, no, this is my sovereign field in which I grow in. And that whole matrix, that's what they've taken from us, our way of natural living. You know, whether it's the birthing that's been altered to the point where the vaccinations and you know, all of the things that are done at pre-birth, that are just not natural birth in any way, shape, or form. Not natural children being grown up with mothers and fathers that are working slave hours. That's clearly the Babylonian business complex, the hierarchical order brought in from these different species who have ingrained it to us mm-hmm. for millions of years. And so we don't even know how to resist at the soul layer.
Yeah, that's right. That's a very good point. That's an enormously good point. And that brings up to the next point for me, because I get so many people that are caught up in the doctrine of religion. They go, you seem to be doing God's work. and you appear to be a God-fearing young lady. And I'm thinking, okay, we have a problem with that statement.
A real big problem.
Yeah, exactly. We have a humongous problem. And so, and I tell people, I says, you might want to stop. You want to refrain from making that statement. Okay, because first and foremost, whatever you believe in, we all have to agree that we believe there is a creator that created all of this, whatever that is. If you are part of that, how can you want that source that you claim to be part of or connected to or one with, how is it that you would be fearing it? Because you will be of the light. Light doesn't fear. There is no fear in light because that's all love. Love, there's nothing to fear if you're coming from your heart center. That's right. So light never feared. It's the other way around. It's the dark that fears the light. So why would you be a God-fearing child? That doesn't make any sense to me. I want to embrace something that's very loving, that embraces all. After all, you either embrace the darkness or it consumes you. So I don't want to fear anything. That because love is all-encompassing. It just is. It's pleasant. It's so divine. I mean, there's not enough words to describe it, because after all, we only speak in 26 out of the 52 alphabet.
Yeah, I've been dumbed down that much.
For heaven's sakes. Talk about a joke. And then they decide to add salt to injury by having legalese, academics, and a style manual that no one knew about. Talk about, oh my God, they have us coming in and going out. So, I mean, it's just that we're going sidetracked, but we have to know who we really are. And so that brings me to the next point with regards to, and I'm going to talk about the trust in the IRS, with regards to status and standing is everything. And there is earmarks of some issues that's going to be coming out perhaps in 2015. And so they want to make it, they're working as fervently, as hard as they can to maybe try to clamp down on people coming out of the matrix. So My point of it is that you might want to bypass Christmas this year or whatever that holiday that you choose to call it, and really focus on your life, bettering your life and those around you, because that status and standing is going to be important for everyone. And no matter who you are, it's very important. But in order to get there and stay there, you really must know who you are. Because if you claim to be of the light, of love, there is nothing to fear. What is there to fear? Darkness. And, you know, there's a saying that for the blind man to appreciate the light, he had once in dark. We have to embrace that darkness because we were all in darkness. And now we come to embrace where we are. So, and I don't want to go into, you know, light versus dark, although you have those components, but there is simply in an embracing, it's a balance. And we're losing ourselves by saying versus that. It's a balance we need to have. There's just a balance. When I talk to the Tibetan monks, of many scholars that are historical storers of history and energies, they always remind me when I said, I want to combat the energy, and they says, you got a problem, because one day you can, at any given moment, you can go bad, meaning you can have a very bad day and do something that you regret later. It's not a, you know, dark energy or negative energy, and then the next day you're doing something very positive. So it's all about balancing and neutralizing that energy is what it is, so you can have your balance. And then there are so many schools of thought, so I don't want to take up too much time in that, but the from what I've seen that have worked for me and how this all comes together, it is a balancing act. It's a balancing act. And one have to be comfortable with themselves. You have to have a backbone. Going into this process is not for the faint heart. You must stand and be convicted. After all, none of that paperwork will do you no good if you don't know who you are and where you, what position you're really truly coming from. It has to come from within. There's something that is so strong within that nothing external can cause a shift or a rift at any point. That's what you've got to have, that soul conviction. Because after all, the energies around you, all what they're doing has everything to do with what they call, there is a robbing of energies. That's why you're working long hours. That's why you're so distracted. All these other things make it appear that you have to be busy fighting about the foreclosure, about the traffic tickets, and about my gun charge. It's a script, people. It's a script, and they got you planned, but it's a harvesting of your energies is what really is happening. And it's all external. You got to start going internal, because you will, at some point, this place that they're working so hard to make is a place to harvest soul. In other words, to trap souls. And you're thinking, okay.
It is absolutely there to harvest and trap souls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what I call sacred geometry energy harvesting system that was overlaid over the natural earth grid. And this has been done over many millions of years. Our roads, our bridges, our airports, all of those things, our port cities, our post offices is where everything began to create this system.
That's right.
Everything that has gone through the post goes to where? The post in Rome. Those posts were originally black posts. What? Painted by the Black Order of Popes. For what reason? To send orders to armies that were conquering, invading individual realms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, everything that one does leads to one place to get an exorcism. That's that place they call the courts.
Right.
That building. Mm-hmm. It's a summoning of the dead. It's black magic, witchcraft, sorcery going on. That's what they're doing. That's what's going on. It's a vortex there. Most people, when they go into court, they have this. I mean, literally, you can touch them and they could just crack right in half.
Right.
Because that place has a vortex that sucks up that living energy. And so you are frightened to death. So
and when it's your programming that gives your energy away.
Yeah. So
your tacit consent to that prosecutor and that judge, that bailiff, and all those others that are a part of that. Because they are costume villains there to raid you. And the only reason they can do it is because you believe they can.
That's right. They're your grim. They're your smaller version of your Grim Reapers.
Yep. Just a local collector.
Like I said, you need to find a way not to never go in there if you don't have to. But again, it goes back to if you claim who you say you are, you shouldn't be in there in the first place.
Exactly.
That's just,
be in there in the first place.
You know. So all these people that've been teaching all this stuff, they find their way there, and I'm thinking, there's a disconnect going on here. Yeah. So it's you're playing around on the physical when that's not where you need to be at all.
Mm-hmm.
And they have you distracted to think you that it's real. It's not. Take a deep breath. And I like Tamara. She always reminds me once in a while when she's thinking I'm a little low and point. I'm not. You know, she goes, oh, Deborah, you're getting into that fear mode. You're the one that told me that, you know, this is not for the faint-hearted, because if it is, you're not going to work with them, right? So, and it really isn't, because you have to be in yourself at all times. You don't have a moment to take a breath, because they're constantly circling around you like vultures, finding ways to zap you. So it's important that you go within. Now, and then what happens is when you start to go within and internalize, now also at the same token, you can't always be finger pointing at them without looking at yourself. Because what needs to be changing, you need to be the change that you wish to seek, not the external. The external is only a mirror to what you really are reflecting. Some people will go into an argument, well, I've had some horrible things to me, done to me, so are you saying there's something there? This plane doesn't deal with issues on this plane. This plane is dealing with issues that you've done previously, whether in this lifetime or previous lifetimes.
Bingo! This woman has passed go and collected another $200. I have been saying this on a spiritual format that the courts are what's called ancestral karma. Every other time you've ever been in a court and you were corrupt, or every other time you've been in a court and been the wrong right guy doing it, you have left energy and given energy to that court as a lifetime, as a belief system. And in the future, when you come back in an unawareness of everything else you've ever done, your debt is waiting there for you, and that judge contracts to take the debt.
So right.
The spiritual debt and physical debt, yes.
So right. Because everything you do now is your future. So if you don't come out of this fear, this life,
yes,
it will be waiting for you when you come through that water again.
Right. The great forgetting of the birth of the sleep. I do a thing called contract revocations, where it identifies in all past, present, and future lives what the court does with you, what the banks do with you, what government does with you, what masculine and feminine do with you. And it literally describes everything that she was describing in the court is a way you can see these contract revocations, that the energy of the court is in your face at every moment. And the second they put something into the, let's call it the post office system, it is there spiritually waiting for you, even if it's not in your mailbox yet. Because it's been posted on multiple spiritual dimensions.
All right, so I think we're frightening the people.
This is right up my mind. I love this stuff.
I will add this to what everybody is saying, if you guys don't mind. Ultimately, if we are creator beings, then we have to look at what it is that we're focusing on every moment of the day.
That's right.
We can observe the observer in our mind and shift that focus without dumping any guilt programming or judgment programming on it and realize, oh, my focus was just here, and that's the vibration I was attracting. If I just shift it here, then all of that, whatever it is that you didn't want in your life, fades away with grace and ease. Mm-hmm. So there's many different ways to work the energetics, and it's all fun.
Right. And one of the little keys is when you're observing yourself there is to be as neutral as possible with yourself.
Yes.
So you don't come into shame, blame, or guilt.
Yes.
That is the other trappings of the court, shame, blame, and guilt, mm-hmm. which we are taught shame, blame, and guilt by our parents. And their parents before them. And we live in a soup of shame, blame, and guilt. And that's what these modified statutes are, the victim of us allowing victimless climbs to go through.
Absolutely. It's a huge monolithic about victimhood.
Yep.
And when I used to go around the country with another sensei to teach self-defense to women that were in those positions. There was a psychological part to the training, and there was the hand-to-hand. I did the psychological because that was my arena to talk from, because, I mean, what I endured as a child, and I'm sure I'm not the only one. I've gotten many phone calls where people shared with me their horrifics. My mother was the greatest tormentor I've met. I mean, she made Girl Scouts out of men. I mean, this woman had something go, you know. And I eventually had to leave home because, you know, I always believed that I'm very, very protected. And one day, the little angel came to me, child angel said, "Deborah, it's time to go. Your mother's coming home right now. And she's coming to take to end your life." I didn't hesitate for a minute. I said, "Okay, let's go." I don't know what age I was, but gee, you know, running away at 7 or 6 years ago.
On your BMX.
I didn't think anything of it. You know, I look back on the thing, I'm thinking, what are you all thinking at 6 or 7 years old running away from home? Because I always knew that I was protected, and she told me where I was going to go, who I was going to meet, and where I was going to go from there. And this is exactly what happened. And I'm thinking, wow, this, who would believe that? I sometimes don't believe it, but I did it. So, but anyways, my point of it is that you can get out of that situation if it's necessary for you to leave. But at the same time, you know, that's where I developed my courage. I became courageous because of that. Yes, I had a lot of mixed feelings about my mother. I didn't know what to call her, really, frankly. I was told that I came through her, but there's no proof of that other than the looks. You know, we had similar look. If we didn't look alike, I swear somebody lied about that. Because, you know, she was, I mean, her behavior was anything of a mother. And this is all about feminine energy, squashing that feminine energy. And I thought, wow, this is really uniquely very different. But anyways, I had to work through all of that to get where I am today, to only so I can be here to share what I'm sharing with you now. And so, you know, I've had many encounters like that. I can't say that I've been as tormented, you know, by anyone than my mother, for sure. I mean, I got scars on my body from what she did. Today, you can still see some of those scars. So, you know, I see it as a movie. You know, I don't cry about it anymore. There's no shame in it anymore. And people say, "Oh, you pathetic child." No, there's nothing pathetic about me. No, I'm courageous of it. In fact, I'm thankful for it because perhaps I am what I am today because of that experience.
Exactly. Because without those experiences, how could you be sitting in that chair with a full schedule?
Exactly.
And you're breaking the cycle, Deborah. That's the other thing.
You're
is that you're
other women too. Knowing not only can you go from self-defense and law and sovereignty and spirituality that you can be an all-around fun person in every way, shape, and form. And just your presence and self saying that you're alive and I did it, and it doesn't matter what anyone else thinks because it is your created reality. And you're sharing that created reality and that light that's within it, and it's the darkness that is retracting itself from that kind of light as you're training all those other beings caught in the middle shades of gray of light and dark.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And at the end of the day, you're showing people that you're not owned by the energy anymore. It happened. It was an experience. You were able to break that cycle. You moved into other energy. And that's an incredible, inspiring place to be and shine from that place in your heart and have other people stand up and shine from that place in their heart.
I really, truly thank the both of you for those wonderful comments. Absolutely correct. You know, thank you so very much. And I like to say the result of it today is I'm not an alcoholic. I'm not on any prescription drugs or that other stuff, drugs. Mm-hmm. Don't do any of that. So that to me is a great revelation for me to know that I turned out okay, quite well, finally. Actually, beautiful, actually. So,
so. Agreed.
You turned out wonderful. Fabulous.
Oh, yes. And you know, we have so many people who call in or send information to us through the email of all the things that they have to deal with the same way. And, you know, all of us have those places that we have to go through. And just to realize that, hey, we can get through this, and it doesn't have to take the alcohol or the drugs or anything else. And the support network that we develop through Adventures into Sovereignty and the work that we're doing is a very important thing that people really can, you know, just reach out to us through Adventures into Sovereignty. There is a very good place there on the website where you can actually subscribe and just become a part of the support network so that if you are having these kinds of issues and you just want to know that, hey, I'm not alone in all of it. It's just wonderful, Deborah, that you shared this much so completely tonight, because, you know, a lot of people really need those examples of people who are willing just to stand and say, you know, I've been there and I've been through it, and now I'm willing to teach other people. So wonderful. Thank you.
Yes, absolutely. You have shared, and you've crossed over into so many different realms, but you still kept it to what we have to learn is once you're a sovereign man of the land, you need a manor role and a trust.
That's true. That's the done on the physical. And, Ho, let me share something to you, case in point, because people don't believe the fact. But the wealthy that are here understand this very succinctly. They understand this very well.
Absolutely.
So whatever wealth they amass now, they know they can come back and pick it up, you know, whenever they come back. That's what people don't understand. So whatever your consciousness is now is what you're going to step back into. So might you want to get busy, get the working, take the class.
You know, speaking of that, Deborah,
people, individuals. Yes.
Speaking of that, Deborah, there was a couple of people that were in the chat session, and they wanted to know, at some point, are you considering the possibility of teaching classes online?
Yeah. I'm working that out with with my manager, Julie. She's the one who's arranged all of this, so she said that was going to be possible. I have to put you in contact with her because she's doing, her and Josh is taking care of all the virtual technology for all of this. I am not going to have any hands on because I will be, I already got no hair there, so I will be pulling the rest of it. So if I took care of it, it just wouldn't get done. They realize, hey, Deb, what have you been doing all these years? I've been doing quite well, but, you know, the technology stuff, somebody else needs to handle that. So they decided to jump in and take care of all of that. So she's going to set it up where there's going to be pay-per-view, webinars, she decided this is going
to
take
place. If you need any help with that, you let me and Rebecca know. We're really, really good at setting those. We've done a bunch of those already.
Mm-hmm. Well, she actually, in fact, asked me to put you in contact with her so you guys can work together. So
perfect.
Done.
So, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, there will be an online webinar coming shortly.
Okay. So, and also, let me tell you the other perks when if people should take the class. Well, I made an arrangement where those that take the 2 days and the 5 day that we can set you up if you choose to have a bank account that doesn't require anything. You just put the money in and you come up with a name and you don't. It doesn't require you to have a social. And actually, is what he told me, it was an anonymous bank account and you get a debit card with it and you can do international and you can bank online as well. And there is a credit card and a debit card separately from the bank account that doesn't have your name on it. It just have a series of number. This is another method that one, because once you started to step out of your status and standing, some people have asked, should we change our name? You might even want to do so. But one thing is for sure, the less of their effects that you have on you, the more remove you are from them. So, but that's only given to the students who have taken both the 2 day, the prerequisite to the 5 days, you have to take in the 2 days or gotten the 2 day DVD. And that will suffice that requirement, which is online. So you can go there and you see that you can either come in person or take the purchase the 2 day class DVD. Now, there's extra perks when you come in person because I group everybody up, and those are permanent groupings. And everyone is also going to be mandatory that you create study groups in your area so we can have ongoing discussions so we can help one another. Stop this Lone Ranger mentality because it's not winning anyone. Well, how's that working for you? Where's the brownie points on that? So we got to really begin to start working together. And the other thing, for those of you who are looking to move forward into a trust, the very people that you meet in these class may be the very candidates, likely candidates that will be your trust officers if you don't have anyone around you close enough in your entourage that you trust. You're going to have some new trusting friends because to have a trust, you must be in trust, you must stand in trust, you must operate from trust. And it begins with each of us. You know, some people have called me and, you know, had this energy that you're going to get over, you're going to get some free advice from me. I'm going to tell you, you're going to get more of that same energy and your life won't go anywhere. You have to come out of that energy because life is all about giving and taking. It must have an exchange. You're taking all the time. Life comes back and say, okay, well, I have a tally and you've been taking for the last 150 years. I got this. Okay. Here I come. And then suddenly you're going to go, what's happening? What's happening? I'm losing everything. That's the product of your mindset, your consciousness, your experience that you choose to bring. So if you produce those energies, whatever they are, just rest assured they will come home to roost.
Absolutely.
So I'm going to end it here tonight, but for those of you who wish to take the class and get some of the perks that Tamara is talking about, you know, by all means, go to the website called protrustacademy.com. Those of you who want to learn more about the trust, you can go to either one. It's up to you. There's actually a link from trustupproviders.com to go to the protrustacademy.com. She created those names, so, you know, I got to get used to saying the names because I came up with other names, so she thought this was easier. So, anyways, but the idea is that they will be ongoing academy. So how we're going to set it up is that we're going to do a certification. So there is an introduction, an intermediate, advanced, and then a certification into stepping out and beginning to teach this for those of you who want to take the roles of a teacher, because I am looking to duplicate myself and others. And I think Tamara was one of those candidates that stepped up and said, yes, you know, I want what's inside of here, you know, to download there. Mm-hmm. You know, so that.
And if you're never going to, and if I just might add to that, Deborah, you don't want to repeat history. You know, if there are certain vibrations and frequencies that you don't want in your area, then it's a really good idea to look back and take the class with you and study the truth.
Right.
Because at the end of the day, you'll be able to make your way through and chuck the stuff that doesn't work for you anymore.
Absolutely. And, you know, before I end it with, I want to go back and touch on trust. Well, we talked about trust a little bit, but the IRS, because there's so many people that have asked me questions about the IRS. IRS and the history of IRS a great deal in the class, but it will, the 5 days is going to go more in depth to that. I have to turn off these chats because I can't read and talk at the same time.
What's wrong with you?
From another house perspective, I hate it when people are sending me chats all the time until the point I just turn them all off and then inform people. When I'm doing a live show,
right,
your messages are pointless because I'm concentrating on the thousands and thousands of people that want an answer.
Yeah, exactly. The 5 days is more of hands-on. It's going to go into all the forms, various forms, how to fill them out, when to apply them, how to use them. Going to go into more of the notary's roles. Certainly, we're going to cover trust, the benefits of having one, how to get started if you don't. There's going to be areas where people, if they want to, you know, some people oppose getting grants, but there are a great deal of money that is that's been stolen from us, giving back to us in the form of grants and subsidies. I mean, we're talking about an insult. Right. Anyways, don't get me wrong. I have to have a quirk sense of humor because this will make me cry every day. So, but anyway, so I'm going to go into how we can find ways to finance that trust, but it has to be funded on a monthly basis. So that's an area where most people won't qualify. So that would be the trust. But the 5 days was really more hands-on, but the prerequisite is that you have to attend the two-day class or have studied the two-day class DVD, because I would know by your level of questions if you did study the DVD. I personally like to see people attend a class because it shows that you're really putting forth sincere effort. Those will go, well, you know, I want to stay home and watch in the comfort of my home. You see, you're going to miss out on the really goodies because it's the community. You have to also realize that part of what they're doing is allowing us to only interact using their stuff again, which is green.
A paradigm.
And so you start to get desensitized. Some people say, I don't even like being around people anymore. I says, you need to check, you need to look into that, because that's a serious problem.
Right.
So this is why I still want to do in-person classes. And then there will be classes that would be precisely for webinars. But, you know, I like human tactile. I don't know about anybody else. I like to see and hear people. I like to see their grumbling face or their smiling face or their loving face or their feeling energy. Because if your heart and soul, you want to be around that. Of course, if your heart is of glass and metal, of course, you want to sit home and only interact with that little thing that they call computer. So, you know, have at it, that's your choice. But frankly, my classes is for heart and souls that want to
manifest.
Manifest. Okay, we can use that word. I was looking for another word, but it fleeced. So, wasn't meant to used. So, anyway.
So we're at the end of the show right now. So Deborah, Tamara, Rebecca, you've been back there. So we have had an incredible, incredible, incredible show. You are so informative every time you guys come on. I look forward to having you on another time, as well as being able to attend your event on the traffic tickets, because I think there's a tremendous amount of stuff to learn about that victimless crime.
I know. Is that amazing?
That's one hell of a scam they got going there.
Uh-huh.
Parking light, from parking tickets to cameras that take pictures of your car.
And anybody who pays one of those, I tell you what. Come on, guys, wake up. Guys and gals, too.
See, what we have to do is what they do to us. I've been telling people they have bonds. All of them that took an oath must have a bond.
Right.
You need to start tapping into that because that's what it's there for.
Right.
And if necessary, we need to start going after their unions, like the police association, the fire department association. All of them belong to some sort of association. We need to start focusing on them as well, because right. when they are hit with tumultuous of lawsuits, suddenly they're going to say, hey dudes, you know what, we can't afford to keep doing this, whatever it is, because you know eventually this is going to dissolve the union. So we need to find a way, just the way they're reaching into our pockets, we need to also reach into their pockets. After all, they're not immune from genocide. And I went over this information with a young lady today. She says, well, she was sharing some information. She's a whistleblower. And she says, well, the bankers are immune from being in law. So I said, excuse me, no, they're not. Genocide, nowhere on this planet that anybody has protection from genocide. Are you crazy? I mean, what? I said, excuse me, I'm sorry. I know you're very heavily medicated. I forgot all about that. Excuse me. But, you know, I mean, but nobody is immune from genocide, period. Point blank.
No one's immune against crimes against, you know, humanity.
Exactly.
Okay, and that's what we're dealing with.
Exactly.
Not just the bankers and the corporate officials and the government members, the senators, exactly. the congressmen. It isn't going to be your local post office employee.
Right.
Okay. But vast majority of people in the court system, not just the judges. Prison.
Oh, same let thing. Me also share one other point with you. If you've got any of their oh, gosh, I should have thought about this earlier. But, okay, you got to take the class so I can really tell you, because I can only drive it home there because we have 2 days to spend together, and then we have another 5 days. So you're going to get tired of me on the eighth day, I'm sure. Or maybe not. I don't know. But anyways, if you have Federal Reserve notes, the green stuff.
Yep.
Do not carry them around in your pocket. They have mile markers that can actually read them. So people are calling me and saying, I just come out of the bank and I'm being pulled over. And the police officer are actually reaching in the car going where the wallet or the purse is.
Yep.
This is what's happening now.
Yeah, they're called magnetic mile markers. There was a big thing to do, install it all over.
Right.
And this is why many, many of these sheriffs and police officers throughout Texas are robbing people. It's huge in Philadelphia. It's really big in Delaware. It's starting to pick up because the sheriffs aren't getting any money. The local cops getting any money.
That's right.
All they need to do is buy like a traffic camera is a thing they install under their cruisers that tells them how much money's in there.
That's right. So what you got to do is find your nearest, as quick as possible, your nearest silver and gold merchants with you, or there is some magnetics that you can buy that you can spray.
It's a scanner thing that stops your.
So there's several things, but I'm just saying what people can do. Magnetics, little balls that you can put over, rub over the money, and they can't pick it up where you're going, but. It's fairly widespread on the highways because they know people are going from towns or, you know, they're going home to, you know, what, a vacation. So they know that people generally have several hundred thousand, you know, several thousand dollars on them. And what better way to rob people on the side of the road? I mean, it's so lacious what's going on out there. So
highway robbery.
Yeah, that's the true name, too, isn't it? Highway robbery.
Well, isn't every traffic stop exactly that when you stop? You know, it's the bandits. So we used to have the highwaymen. Well, what do we call what we've got going on? You know, let's tell the truth about it.
It is. It's highwaymen robbing us.
Yes, sure it is.
Community police officer, a federal agent.
Yeah.
Still highway robbery.
It really is. But if you should ask me, I frankly think they're not, they're from some other dimension here because – Who does that?
People that are programmed.
Yeah.
Enough of their free will. The system is creating 20 future lives, and they're going to be a cop, they're going to be a lawyer, they're going to be a judge, because they're going to have it good in that little life. for the next 20 lifetimes because they, you know, they said, screw it, I'm giving away tacit consent. And I'm going to sit back and ride the Lexus or my Ford Explorer or whatever it is.
But you know, one of the biggest problems that we still have to deal with is that so many people here in the United States just simply accept that the policemen, you know, they're the ones that you have to trust and obey because they're the ones who've set the rules and you got to obey the rules. You wouldn't believe how many times people still say this to me.
I know. It's amazing.
Yeah, so it's like, hey, you know, we've really got to have a major wake-up call with just our everyday average citizens so that they can begin to realize what we all hear on this show and those of us who are talking about sovereignty. You know, this just becomes second nature to us. But it's not to the average person. And so one of the things that we do with our shows and one of the things that we do as we're working with our various websites and the things that we're doing is getting people to look at this from the smallest level of understanding so that you can begin to realize just what a game has been played on us so that we can begin to find those solutions that will help us break out of the sleepness, the, you know, the trauma and drama that we're all dealing with so that we can become this energy within ourselves that allows us to hear the truth and be willing to do something about it. So you've just done an excellent job as usual, Deborah, just bringing all of this down. It's been really fun again tonight. So thank you for all of that. Very, very nice.
So Tamara, any last words?
Other than the fact that I'm very grateful that I could have the opportunity to work with Deborah, she is an incredible person to work with. I love the fact that when she said you wouldn't believe all the information that I gave you, she gave me that and more. So when you're talking about full data, she does give the full data and the full picture. So if you have the opportunity to work with Deborah and you're pulled to work with Deborah in your heart space, don't second guess it. Go do it.
Wonderful words. Just go do it. Mm-hmm. All right, everybody, this is going to end the show, and we're going to pick it up with another Just Do It show. So stay tuned to Adventures in the Sovereignty.
Before we get away, let me just remind you again, Rebecca@humanitad.org if you want to get in touch with us. And next week we're going to have one of my favorite young gentlemen who is also just very, very knowledgeable. He's going to be talking about commercial discharge of debt in a very big way. His name is Tex Masson, and he will be on with us next week. I really look forward to sharing the show with you with him, so don't forget to tune in this same time next week. And don't forget also, we have Deborah's information through Adventures into Sovereignty. If you want to click on the button, we'll be sure to get that information. Just put in your subject line, send Deborah's class information, and we'll be sure it gets out there too. Thank you.
Alrighty. Thank you, everyone in the Megastation BBS Radio Land, everyone watching us live on Google Hangouts, everyone at New Earth Nation, everyone that's in One Degree of Separation, everyone that's in the Universal and Galactic Communities. This has been Adventures into Sovereignty, another episode of The Reality Checking Out.
Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you, Andrew. Thank you, Rebecca.
Thank you to everyone and to all those listeners.
Yes, yes.